This is Jay Sekulow, The Issue, Religion and Politics. My guest, Barry Lynn.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be taking your calls, but also we've got a great program lined up for you. In just a few moments, I'm going to be joined by Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. There's a big forum this weekend that is being conducted at Saddleback Church. Rick Warren, of course, is the pastor of that church. And both the presumptive nominees from the Republicans, it's going to be Senator John McCain for the Democrats, Senator Barack Obama will be discussing their issues, questions by Pastor Rick Warren. I have posted, by the way, a statement on BeliefNet. That is, by the way, Barry Lynn and I will be talking about that. While Barry Lynn and I don't agree on much anything, we both agreed to do a live blog on BeliefNet at BeliefNet.com. So I'm going to encourage you to go there to get the update. And I talked about the forum. Barry, of course, will be commenting in just a few moments. He's very much opposed to the whole idea of having this kind of faith-based forum at Rick Warren's church. I disagree with that. I'm a fan of Rick Warren's, but more important than that, as I said in my blog posting, is I think this is a great opportunity that we shouldn't squander to find out where each of the candidates are, specifically on the issue of Supreme Court nominees. I think that is absolutely critical here, that you cannot ignore for a moment that the next president of the United States is going to at least pick probably two justices to the Supreme Court, which may well determine the course of the Supreme Court for a generation. Now, as I said, at BeliefNet.com, we've now got a live blog. You can go to ACLJ.org, by the way, and just link right on over there. It'll be on our link page. It'll be on our front page on the homepage as well. But, of course, you can go to BeliefNet and go that way also. And that will be the live blog posting where Barry and I will be commenting back and forth on these critical issues. So something you're going to want to stay tuned to, something you want to pay attention to, and it'll be very interesting. We have very different views on the role of religion in America's public life, but it'll be a great debate, and Barry will be joining us within a few moments. Now, also, right now, Jordan will be joining us in the last segment of the program, a very interesting and, I think, timely interview with all the political discussions on faith and the politics. Former Congressman J.C. Watts from Oklahoma is going to be our guest. Jordan will be conducting that interview, so that's going to be a fascinating time. So this is a jam-packed program with a lot of information, and I want to encourage you to stay tuned. Let me give you a couple of quick updates. If you're just joining us later in the week here and didn't catch the first couple of days of the broadcast this week, we had two major victories. One was for Judge DeWeese. This is a judge that had posted in his chambers in his courtroom a Ten Commandments display, which included, in addition to the Ten Commandments, of course, it had a full display of the rules of law. He was challenged by the ACLU. They actually, you ready for this? They actually tried to get him held in contempt of court in federal court. We came in and opposed it, and opposed it aggressively. Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, did a great job on that. And the end result was the ACLU lost, and they lost resoundingly, which was something we were very encouraged to see. And Judge DeWeese's display stays up. The ACLU might bring another challenge, but the good news there is a very positive determination. There are a couple of new cases on the horizon, but one big one, and that's not so new, is that we now have an oral argument date for our Supreme Court case out of the Pleasant Grove City involving that Ten Commandments display. That is going to be before the Supreme Court of the United States. I'll be arguing that November 12th, the day after Veterans Day. What's so interesting about that is that we've got almost every veterans group in the United States has filed a brief on our behalf. The Veterans of Foreign War, the Order of the Purple Heart, World War II memorials. I mean, we've got a vast array of support within the community there. So I want to encourage you on that front. Be in prayer for that. We'll be filing their briefs coming in, by the way, tomorrow. The opposing side of the brief will be in our offices on Friday. And then, realistically, it looks like we'll be responding in 30 days to that and then getting ready for oral arguments. So a busy time at the American Center for Law and Justice. While we're not really getting into the discussion much today on the broadcast, we still want to keep in front of you this whole organization of the Islamic Conference. I want to encourage you to sign that petition, going to the UN to make sure Christianity, the proclamation from the gospel, doesn't become a criminal act. The number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with Barry Lynn when we come back. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
Oh, this? Well, actually, I'm earning my global business degree online. Here, have a look. All the courses are taught online, so I can attend class from anywhere. Same with the tests. You can take all those online, too. Or, if I wanted, I could stop by the campus in Virginia Beach and meet with my professor in person or go to class there. But the thing is, my job has been really busy lately, so I do everything from my laptop. Otherwise, it's just like going to class. It's hard work. But when I'm done, I'll have a degree from one of the top 10 online universities in the country.
With both 2- and 4-year degrees available and more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. Visit applytoregent.com or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. As I said in the first segment of the broadcast, I'm joined by Barry Lynn. He is the Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And I need to say this, and Barry and I are now almost like partners in a sense. Now, don't everybody get annoyed on both sides of the right and left here. We're both participating in a internet blog, an active blog with BeliefNet that'll be launching literally within days of this broadcast. So Barry and I are doing a blog kind of squaring off on a number of the issues that we'll be dealing with, one of which we're going to talk about today. But Barry, first, welcome to the broadcast.
It's nice to be back here. It's nice to start our new enterprise at BeliefNet. I'm looking forward to it. We have a lot of things we don't agree about, and that will allow us to blog along.
There we go. And the one thing we did agree about was that it was a good idea to do this. And look, with the presidential election coming up and all the discussions and all the intersection of religion and American public life, BeliefNet asked Barry and I to participate in this, and this is something we're doing. It'll be an active blog. People will be able to post comments. So, like I said, it should be up literally in either hours or days from now. And if you go to BeliefNet.com, you'll be able to get there. And you can also link right from the ACLJ website. And Barry, you're going to have it linked from Americans United. Are you all working on that?
Yeah, we are working on that, too.
Okay, so anybody that's listening, you go to BeliefNet.com or go to the respective organization's website, and we'll get it there. Big conference, big forum coming up this weekend, and this is an interesting one. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in California, Purpose-Driven Life. And as I said in the blog that I'm posting, I'm a big fan of Rick Warren's, and I'm glad he's engaged in the political process. Barry, you have a very different view on this. Let's discuss it.
Well, I certainly do, and the big problem is that I don't think we need a third forum that will be covered by all of the networks, including CNN and all of the cable networks that are not involved with the Olympics, because it is a news event when any pastor in America, particularly at this enormous church in California, has both candidates, and those candidates agree to speak to him for an hour about religion, values, leadership, and all the other things he wants to discuss. My problem is these two candidates have not ever had a conversation about the Constitution, about science policy, about any of the other topics that seem to me more central to this debate than what your personal faith is or how that relates to your governance as president. We've had two already. We'll now have three of those, zero on the Constitution, wrong priority.
Here's what I said, though. You know, there has been a number of these, what they call, I guess, value forum discussions. There's been two or three of them. But this is the first time that the candidates, now the presumptive Republican nominee and the presumptive Democratic nominee, are going to be at least together. When I say together, I don't think there'll be much overlap. There'll be there some. But there's definitely, this is the time when, and this is what I think is really the key to me, Barry, is the people, the American people, many American people, not all, but a lot of American people want to know where these nominees now are on various issues. What I wrote, what I was concerned about, I think it was great that Rick Warren's engaging in it, and I think it's great that it's going to get press coverage. What I was concerned about is, are they going to skip over what I call the issues that are on the mind of everybody, right and left? Are you going to have a... is this going to be nothing other than a kumbaya moment? You know, everybody, you know, we all love each other. Everything's nice. I think it's important to talk about AIDS. I think it's important to talk about the environment. I think it's important to talk about these kind of issues. But to ignore, and I think you would probably agree on this, to ignore the Supreme Court of the United States in this election cycle is, to me, just would be just missing an important opportunity.
Yeah, well, certainly every issue, I think, has a moral component. That is not to say that it is to be resolved by looking for a proof text in the Bible, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative, to do that. But if we're going to talk about issues like the Constitution or the courts, it just strikes me that Pastor Rick Warren, his aphorism-driven, purpose-driven book series, is not the guy to do this. And I think that you may be right that we don't get much on those issues, those hot-button issues. I would like to think that Pastor Rick Warren is not going to just ask again, what's your favorite Bible story? Asked, of course, during the other previous debates or discussions on this topic, nor will he be asking what Soledad O'Brien asked Senator John Edwards in something that is becoming sadly ironic. Yep. Well, what was your greatest sin there, Senator Edwards? So, I mean, I hope he avoids that stuff, but I don't think he's the guy to talk about the Supreme Court. I don't think he's an expert on the Supreme Court. I'd almost prefer it if John McCain and Barack Obama wanted to talk about it without any moderator and see what they think. That was an idea, by the way, John McCain had, which
right.
I liked. I loved that idea.
The town
Barack
hall.
Obama's people apparently couldn't
they
get
didn't
it together.
Yeah, there was the idea of a town hall, which I actually, you know, point of agreement, I think it would have been great if he would have done that. Let me tell you this, though, or at least my theory on this. I think, number one, it's going to happen. So we know it's happening this weekend, so you can kind of deal with the inevitable here. And I do think if the right questions are asked, and Rick Warren has had a big impact on his purpose-driven life. I don't know how many millions of copies it's sold. He's got ministries that are reaching all over the world, primarily dealing with poverty and AIDS. I mean, that's their focus. This is a church that does not generally tackle what we would call the social issues. I mean, what I said in my posting is that I think that this is an opportunity to at least bring those issues here in this faith-based forum. For whatever reason it's there, it's going to be there, at least address those issues. Now, I'm reading your blog, and by the way, folks, if you're just joining us, Barry Lynn's my guest. He is the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, but also he and I are engaged in a ongoing blog dialogue now at beliefnet.com. If it's not up today, it's going to be up in the next either hours or in a few days. So look for it on beliefnet.com, where you can go to the ACLJ website or Americans United website and link to it there as well. But Barry, I'm looking at one of the things you wrote. You said, "Trust me, I love a good theological discussion as much as a good legal one. However, since we aren't hiring a chief theologian for America, Pastor Warren should and might avoid direct inquiries about the virgin birth and the timetable for Armageddon. Nonetheless, the candidates will surely treat this appearance with the man often touted as the new Billy Graham," talking about Pastor Warren, "as a golden opportunity to play whatever religion cards they hold." Here's the interesting dynamic, though, Barry, in my view, and I want to get your comments on this. My view is the religion card is not being played by John McCain at all. And on the contrary, it's Barack Obama who is reaching, at least, you know, this appearance of reaching out to even the evangelical community. So it's kind of a flip of where it normally is.
Yeah, there is a certain flip involved. That's no doubt about it. And I think John McCain does, however, when he speaks to audiences, he frequently talks about his experiences as a POW, including the religious ones, when he got both in trouble for talking about the resurrection or trying to explain that. And, of course, a famous story where someone, one of his captors, actually draws a cross in the dust. So it's not like he doesn't talk about it. Well, my sense is that at Saddleback Church, there's very likely to be every opportunity taken with a wink and a nod, maybe, to say, oh, by the way, let me throw in this little religious phrase to prove that I'm more religious than the other guy. And I don't think that that's going to be terribly helpful. I think by the time Saturday night at the church is over, Saturday night live at the church, we're not going to know much about any of the issues, including poverty and including the issues you think won't be discussed at all, including abortion.
Yeah, I do. I suspect, or I disagree. I think they're going to address some of the issues. I don't think necessarily it's going to be. I hope they address the issue of the Supreme Court. Rick Warren's not a lawyer, but you can ask the basic question, how do you view judicial philosophy? What do you think a judge should do? What's the role of a judge? Whether that'll happen or not, it'd be a missed opportunity if it doesn't. And this is part of, and by the way, folks, this is how we're doing this dialogue on BeliefNet. So when you go to the website, you can actually get this kind of, you'll be able to see Barry and I commenting back and forth. Our first postings will be a little bit longer to set the stage for a particular topic, but then it's going to be quick dialogue back and forth, and we're going to let you all, everyone that's listening, can post your comments. So that'll be an encouraging thing as well. We're talking about, of course, this upcoming forum that's going to be this Saturday for at Saddleback Church. Both candidates, the presumptive nominees, are coming. Barry, changing the subject just a little bit.
Sure.
And we've got just a minute or so, minute and a half here left. Looking at the presidential election coming up, one thing that has not been discussed in the debates and during the primaries, not much on the Supreme Court at all.
That's correct.
Do you expect, now that the candidates are selected, putting aside the Saddleback Church forum, when the debates start taking place, do you expect the Supreme Court of the United States issue to be front and center?
I think it's going to be attempted to be put forward both by religious and secular conservatives and by those of us on the more liberal and progressive side. However, I do not think this is likely to become a major issue in the debates. And I don't think it's going to be a major issue upon which people will ultimately cast their ballot. I think this is all about national security once again. It is all about the economic crisis that the country is facing and whether either of these candidates recognizes that there's a lot of potential to get worse. I don't think people are going to cast their ballot on the basis of the Supreme Court, even though, frankly, I think maybe you ought to.
There we have one area of definite agreement. The Supreme Court should be a front and center issue for the voters. We're going to find out in just a few months if that plays out or not. Barry Lynn and I are hosting the BeliefNet blog. You can find it on BeliefNet.com. So we appreciate being part of the BeliefNet team there. And again, you can link to it from either the ACLJ website or Americans United. Barry, thanks for being on. We'll be doing
always
this more often. Before we hear Jordan's report, which again will be coming right after the break, let me encourage you to go to your phones right now. We haven't talked about it much today, but this organization of the Islamic Conference and this attempt to literally criminalize the proclamation of the gospel through this defamation of religion action or resolution they're trying to get through, the UN needs to stop. We need your name added to it. The phone number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We come back from the break, a live report from Jordan Sekulow from the United Kingdom.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org. Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless Service. 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're bringing you a very special program this week and throughout the week. And today we've been discussing the upcoming presidential forum at Saddleback Church, hosted and moderated by Rick Warren, a well-known evangelical leader, a special and unprecedented opportunity for evangelicals to be involved in a presidential forum with both Senator McCain and Barack Obama as well. And we want to talk about some of the issues that specifically young people were interested in. Young evangelicals, these issues will really be focused on at the Saddleback Forum this weekend, and we thought it would be great to bring in a guest who has spent his entire career working on many of these issues that will be discussed this weekend. We'd like to welcome to the program former Oklahoma Congressman J.C. Watts. You've seen him on television. He's been a part of ACLJ this week and especially Jay Sekulow Live's radio broadcast. Congressman Watts, I wanted to go right into some questions that we had for you, especially involved with young evangelicals, specifically the issues that they're concerned with. How is the traditional conservative agenda interconnected with the issues that you're hearing young evangelicals talk about now, like combating poverty on the global scale, on the local scale, the spread of AIDS in Africa, and as well as the Darfur situation? How do we interconnect those conservative issues and conservative agendas with this arising agenda in the young evangelical community?
Well, I think evangelicals and young evangelicals, I was a youth pastor for 8 years, so I think I know the heart of many of those young people and what they're thinking. But I think, you know, they ask themselves, what would Jesus do? What would Christ be concerned about? And I think that Christ would be concerned about the unborn. I think that Christ would be concerned about, marriage, how we define marriage. And of course, there's no better alternative than one man and one woman. But I think the young evangelical also understands that, you know, Christ would be concerned about poverty, you know, the least of these. I think he would be concerned about AIDS in Africa. So God uses the eyes of the believer and the ears and the feet of believers to deal with those issues. And so I think all of that would be the agenda of Christ.
You've done so much work in these issues, both in and outside of government, in your career in politics and in now in the professional world, in Africa specifically, and the poverty issues as well. When we talk about Rick Warren's approach, which is an approach we'll hear about a lot this weekend at the Saddleback Forum, the whole life approach to the life agenda, caring about the unborn before they're born, but also caring about those who are born, making sure that that unborn child, when they are born, gets a good education, has those abilities and capabilities to get a good job, be a productive citizen, and be able to succeed. How does that issue tie into the overall agenda here? Because we hear from different sides in the debate, and we'll say, we know that you're endorsing Senator McCain, that one answer is to raise taxes to combat the education problems and to not allow school choice, which is definitely coming across from the left in Barack Obama's campaign. What is your answer to that? Is that really the answer to the education problem? When you look at that whole life approach, education is probably the second biggest approach. And of course, the protecting the life of the unborn is very important. But then when they are born, you've got to make sure they get a good education. What is the right strategy there? It's not raising taxes and getting rid of school choice, is it?
Well, I think when you look at health care, when you look at education, when you look at dealing with poverty, you look at AIDS in Africa, whatever the case might be. I've been involved in many of those issues. And the thing that I would encourage, and I think we have to recognize that, you know, obviously money plays a role in that, but I think more importantly, we have to make sure that we're using the right model in order to deal with those issues. It's easy to say we ought to, you know, raise taxes. Well, when we raise taxes, you know, we hurt the very people that we want to help, because we take money from people and being able to buy groceries, and we take more money from people that need that money to put to save for their children's education. So I think we, over the last 30, 35 years, I think in many respects, we've used bad models in trying to deal with poverty. We've used bad models in trying to deal with health care. Yes, you're right, school choice. We ought to take a comprehensive approach to the development of human beings here in America. But, you know, more money, spending more money in bad government models, it won't get us there.
I want to tell everyone, folks, we are discussing right now with former Congressman J.C. Watts the upcoming forum, the presidential forum at Saddleback Church this weekend, hosted and moderated by Rick Warren, talking about the issues young evangelicals are really concerned with and have started discussing among each other as well in the media. Congressman, I want to change subjects just a little bit now and get into the energy independence issue and environmental stewardship. That's what you're hearing from young evangelicals. Now, we know energy independence is important, especially in Oklahoma, the people that you represented in Congress. But how do you see energy independence and biblically-based environmental stewardship that young evangelicals are supporting and are more interested in getting involved in working together?
Well, I think that we all, Jordan, we all should be good stewards of the earth. I mean, I think, you know, why wouldn't we be concerned about what God's earth? I think as Christians, as believers, I think we ought to be concerned about what Christ is concerned about. But I think if you look at the technology, I think we have to take advantage of the resources that God has given us right here at home in the United States of America. We cannot continue to get 70% of our daily consumption of energy from foreign sources, and I don't think we will ever be totally independent of foreign oil, but we can be less dependent. But we have to take advantage of the technologies that's available to us right here in the United States of America. I used to be an oil and gas commissioner when I was in state government for 4 years, and I know for a fact that we have technology today that we can go, we can safely, we can drill, we can explore safely, we can explore in a conservative environmental way, that we don't go in and disrupt and ruin the resources, the earthly and land resources that God has given us. And I do think not only do we have to explore and take advantage of the resources here in America, we do need to conserve. We need to be conservation minded. We need to pay attention to turning lights off in certain rooms when we're not using them. I mean, my parents used to hammer that home, because mm-hmm. Going to our household, they used to say, "Hey, this house looks like a Christmas tree. Get those lights off in here."
Right.
They were conservation conscious. I mean, they were conscious of conserving. So, yeah, we need alternative resources, alternative fuels. We need exploration. I don't think we have to choose one or the other. I think we need both. We need all of the resources that God has given us by way of science and technology and exploration. That's just common sense, good old-fashioned American common sense.
Carson Watts, I want to thank you for joining us today to discuss these, what we believe are very critical and important issues to the evangelical community at large, and especially young evangelicals who listen to our program. So, again, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We just had a great opportunity on the program to hear from Congressman J.C. Watts, a friend of the American Center for Law and Justice, as well as J. Secular Live, discussing the issues that will be so important at the upcoming Saddleback Forum this weekend. And he talked about the religious freedom issue, the human rights issues, the religious persecution issues. Folks, we wanted to bring you this special programming to get you engaged in the forum this weekend, but we still want you to get behind our efforts at the United Nations to combat the Organization of the Islamic Conference. To do so, you need to call right now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.